Welcome to Cooking in the Dark.
The kitchen. I will go to the kitchen. And although some recipes I cannot read, still I'm sure I can do everything I need. This show, Cooking in the Dark, it is the key. He's a mighty talkative Texan. You know Cheryl, she tells him so. I know Dale Campbell would like to welcome you to this here show.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall and www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Holy schmoly, guacamole!
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark. This is Cheryl Cummings, and I'm going to introduce you to the man who proves to us every week that you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, Dale Campbell.
That's right, that's right. Welcome, welcome. Hey, I want to invite all y'all to come up front a little closer.
What did you do to them that they're backing away like that?
I don't know, man. They saw these potatoes coming out in the peeler, and all of a sudden everybody's skedaddled. I think my reputation precedes me. Here, do me a favor, man. Just peel this. Just peel these. 50 pounds of potatoes. Yeah. Like, ever been in the army? Yeah, come on down. Okay, so today's show, man, we're going to make potato soup. You mean it's cold out there. It's still winter time. This is a cool little recipe, perfect for one or two, because it's not that big of a recipe.
Yeah.
In fact, it calls for a 3-quart pot, and I'm like, I've got a 2.5-quart saucepan, and I've got a 4-quart pot. So the first time I made this, I started off in the 2.5-quart pot. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to have enough room. Not that the soup takes up that much room, but when you have to stir it and do some different things, it does get – the extra space is nice. So I'm going to be using my 4-quart pot for this as opposed to the other one. It'll work out great. But potato soup's good, man. It's cold. Super Bowl's coming. Some of y'all, Super Bowl's over. Depending on where you're at and when you listen to us. I know Kathleen Long, Super Bowl's coming. We're the first show she listens to every week.
Really? Oh, that's so nice.
Maybe not, but I'm thinking we are. In my mind. Welcome to my imagination.
Well, I'm going to agree with you. That's so nice of Kathleen, yes.
Yeah, she's good. All right, let me get that 4-quart pot. And, man, there's not much to this recipe. Like I said, it's pretty simple. You're going to need the pot. You're going to need a potato masher. Peeler and a knife, man. You're in business. But the first time I made this recipe, Candace and I ate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it fed us dinner. I mean, yeah, a nice dinner. And then there was still a little bit left over for lunch the next day.
Nice.
For me. Or her, either one. I think I ended up eating it. So that's nice. I mean, if you're just one person, you know, because sometimes you make soup, man. Oh, you get tired of make too much.
Yeah, you have soup for days.
You know, you get some of them big pots of soup, but that's cool.
Yeah.
It's there. So there's going to be a white sale at JJ Trading. Just letting y'all know. Sheets. Bath mats. Ooh. They've got these cool, shaggy rug bath mats.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some cool memory foam ones, you know, that are kind of soft when you step out. Oh, so nice, man. I like that memory foam stuff. My feet hurt all the time anyway, it seems like, you know. So those are cool stuff. Hey, something else they have there that I've been debating about ordering for myself.
Yeah.
They have these floor pillows, big 2x2 floor pillows, 2 foot by 2 foot, and they're covered in shag carpeting, but they're just made for kids to throw on the floor and lay on and waller on.
Oh, that's like, nice.
I was going to get me 2 orange ones, you know, baseball season's come, until I realize, Astros cheated. Hurt my heart, man. I'm like, damn, really? My team cheated, those crazy boys.
The Red Sox.
I know, man. The Red Sox, too, because you got our bench coach. He's
the one that did it all. We got your guy, yeah.
He's the dude that did it all, you know? Yeah. I mean, Oh, crazy, man. But it is. I mean, we'll just have to win it this year. Show everybody, don't mess with Texas.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll take them some tater soup and we'll win every game. This stuff's good, man. All right, y'all. So there was a preacher. Had to have all of, you know, had the rest of his permanent teeth pulled and had dentures made. And that first Sunday after he got his dentures, man, woo, his sermon was only about 10 minutes long. Then the next week, his sermon was 20 minutes long. The week after that, the sermon was an hour and 25 minutes.
No.
And one of the elders in the church, he was like, man, what's up with this? You know, blah, 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 10, 20, hour and a half. You know, he goes, well, it was that first Sunday, man, my dentures, my mouth was really hurting. My gums are sore. It hurt to talk. He goes, the second Sunday, it felt a little bit better, but it still hurt a lot. And he goes, in that third Sunday, well, I accidentally got my wife's dentures and I just couldn't stop talking. So that was so funny. That's one of those jokes. Sorry, ladies. But it is. It's funny. All right, y'all. Don't go anywhere. Cooking in the Dark. We're making potato soup. Easy potato soup. Capitalize the easy. All right, y'all. Cooking in the Dark. We'll be right back.
You want Cooking in the Dark downloaded to your podcatcher? Here's our address, http://www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com/RSS. That's Cooking in the Dark, no spaces, all squished together, .libsyn, LIBSYN.com/RSS. And Cooking in the Dark will be delivered directly to your computer. Dale Campbell here with Cooking in the Dark, and let me ask you a question. When you take something out of the oven and you hear a sizzling sound, do you realize it's you sizzling and not the food? When you're grilling, do you find that your finger's getting cooked, not the meat? If so, you need to get some Grips oven mitts, the same ones that I use when I do Cooking in the Dark. These great mitts will not only protect you to temperatures up to 500 degrees, but they also protect you against steam burns and also burns from hot liquids. They clean up real easy. Just wash them off under the faucet or toss them in the dishwasher. The main reason I love them, though, being blind, I can actually identify what I'm touching right through the mitts without getting burnt. Now try that with a great big old cotton mitt. Also, unlike a cotton mitt, these babies are non-flammable, so you won't touch something accidentally and catch on fire. You know where to get them. Visit blindmysmart.com online and order your set of Grips right now. Or, if you can't get online, give them a call.
866-922-8877.
And start taking the sizzle out of yourself and putting it back in the food where it belongs.
This portion of Cooking in the Dark is sponsored by Body Sense, featuring thousands of name brand colognes, perfumes, hair care, and bath and body products at discount mice prices. Visit them at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Now here's more of the show with Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
Hey, y'all, we're back. Okay, so, Cheryl, why don't you read that recipe here in a second? I've got to peel these potatoes. So I am using a Y-style peeler. What that is the Y-style, the handle goes up and splits off into a Y, kind of like a goalpost. Oh, Super Bowl reference. And the blade goes across. So the blade is actually perpendicular to the handle. So you peel the potato kind of like you would shave. I hold the potato and I'm left-handed, so I hold the potato in my right hand, and I just pull the peeler back towards me, straight back, and it peels the potato. Now you can feel where the potato has been peeled. Now I'm going to just grab the potato, knock off the ends, because I don't get the ends. That's where I'm holding it at. Let me get this other end. But as you run your finger or thumb over the potato, these are russets that we're using, you can feel where the skin is. Skin feels real rough. Where the potato's peeled, real smooth. Okay, so that's it. So I've got a few of these to peel. They're kind of small. Some of these are about the size of an egg. I'm like, ah, grow a bigger potato, man. Should have called Idaho. So let me finish peeling these. Cheryl, why don't you read them the recipe? This is so easy, y'all. But first,
yes.
Ready, Cheryl? One, two, three. One potato, two potato, five potato soup. That's right. Soup's good food. It just has to be Dale. Yeah. Soup was my nickname, y'all, back. It's still is. But anyway. All right, sweetheart. Go ahead and read it. Man, y'all are going to love this recipe. Easy.
We need 2.5 cups of water, 5 medium potatoes peeled and cut up, another 1/4 cup of water. We'll talk about that. 1 cup milk, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of white pepper, 2 green onions thinly sliced, optional, 4 slices of bacon fried, crisp, and crumbled.
Oh, yeah, good. Mm.
1 cup cheddar cheese grated, and sour cream.
Good stuff, man. So easy recipe, y'all. What I'm going to get going here, first thing I'm going to do is get the water boiling. 2.5 cups. And again, I'm using a 4-quart pot. There's our chives.
And did you talk? So it says 5 potatoes. Does it matter what type of potatoes we're using and how big they are?
We're using russet, and it's 5 like medium-sized potatoes. So I'm thinking a medium-sized potato is not like some of these are, like I said, the size of an egg. That's not a medium-sized potato.
That's small, right?
I would say a medium-sized potato would be maybe like a Red Lobster potato that you get with your meal, you know? Not a huge one.
So maybe that's like
I'd say 2 of these little eggs. Yeah, 3 to 4 inches long, I would say. And not, you know, I mean, right now, wintertime, they're not that big around. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, basically, these potatoes here, they would even, some of them would even be small for making potato skins with, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, dang, a lot of peeling to do. So I use probably 2 potatoes for every 1 potato the recipe called for. And then there were a couple bigger ones. So, yeah, you know, and it's not rocket science.
Right.
In the end, if you have a few more potatoes or a little less, it's no big deal, you know.
Oh.
And there's so many. I mean, another variation of this, but you don't want to make the baked potato soup, you know, by adding the bacon and all that. You could even add some ham.
Oh, that's always delicious.
You know?
Yeah.
Or you could just add cheese. Or you could add nothing. I mean, we did nothing, and it was good.
So I was telling you, you made potato soup, and I ended up making pumpkin soup.
Yeah.
Which was delicious.
How'd that? It was good?
It was delicious.
Yeah, we made pumpkin soup one time, and I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
I don't. It's not going to be one of my favorites, you know? I'm not a big pumpkin fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it was good. Yeah.
I liked it. With cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves.
So did you get crazy, and did you, like, get your own pumpkin and roast all the cook the pumpkin down, or did you go buy a can?
No, I had fresh pumpkins, and I was sort of sitting looking, going, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do with these?
And then I'm like, soup. It's winter. We like soup. And I came across a pumpkin recipe that says easy pumpkin soup. I'm like, sign me up.
My name right there, easy. Pumpkin soup. Yeah, I like recipes like that.
So
sometimes when you open a recipe up and there's like 15 ingredients next.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this was really, I mean, as you said, you roasted the pumpkins and then cut them up, water, onions, and then my seasonings were like the cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg. Oh my God, I love that. It's, you know.
Cool.
And
all right, y'all. So, hey, I'm going to cut you off for a second.
No, go ahead.
While you sit there and have pumpkins dancing in your head.
Yes.
I know. Oh, la, la. Cheryl, oh, pumpkin. Oh.
We're doing potatoes. I like potatoes, too. So
remember one time, man, we went on a little church retreat, man, and we're sitting there listening to this guy, and all I can think about is, when's he going to quit talking? I want a big red. Oh, my goodness. I didn't hear a word he said. I just want a big red. Wait, we can go. I have big red time. Cool. So here we go. We're going to cut up our potatoes here. I'm taking this one here. This one's probably about 2.5 inches long. Yeah, maybe about an inch in diameter. but I'm whacking them in half. What your goal is to cut these into pieces that if they ended up on your spoon, you could eat them. Okay? You don't want them super small. I don't want them super big. But that's kind of my criteria. So this one, by slicing them in half, yeah, those will be all right. That one might be a little big. I'll cut him in half. Okay. That's all I do with this. Okay, this guy right here, I'm going to cut him in half long ways this way. I'm going to take each side, put it down for the middle down that I cut that's flat, slice it long ways again in the down it, and this one too, long ways again, and then cut these across. And one there, okay. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, and I don't want you don't have to panic, but you do want your pieces to be sort of as close to the same size as possible, right? Because when it boils, you want everything to boil at the same.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't need to get that Vox 2, that talking bat, you know, scale out and weigh everything. But if you follow the same procedure, cut in half long ways, and then basically what we're doing is we're quartering it long ways, the safe way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just cut across those cuts. Like Cheryl said, once you kind of get the knack of how far you're cutting, you know, what size you're cutting, just try to keep cutting at that same size as far as cutting the individual pieces going across. And that way you get all the pieces about the same size. They'll cook evenly,
right,
which is important. And with this, these being this size, it's not like if you're boiling full size potatoes and you've got one big dude and then a bunch of little ones.
I might have done that when I first started cooking.
I'd cook a whole potato.
Yeah, I might not have paid close attention to like what was the size, and then as you said, you pull it out, you're like, this piece is done.
Why isn't this
that
done?
That piece is done.
Yeah. Well, and it's experience, man. You know, and that's one thing that I hope that we do on this show is bring, you might think, oh, everybody should do that. Not everybody thinks of stuff. I mean, I'm still learning too.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about this. We can always learn some new stuff. New gadgets, new tools, new techniques, new ideas, an easier way to do it. Okay. One more to go. Hooray. Okay. Now I cut these up on those flexible chopping mats, Cheryl. Woohoo! Fold this up. What's cool about these, you just fold them in half. Move it right over to our pot. Our water is beginning to boil. Okay. Dump them in. I'm going to add a little salt. It's not in the recipe, but my mama said.
Yes. So the recipe says we want it to simmer / boil for about 20 minutes.
What we want to do is we want to get them to where they're boiling. Once they come to a boil, we're going to reduce the heat and just let them simmer for about 20 minutes. Okay, so that's the next goal. Just, you'll hear with this pot, you'll hear it starting to rattle, the pot lid starting to rattle once they start boiling. They were pretty close. By putting in the cool potatoes, it's going to lower the temperature just a little bit in there.
Right.
So that's where we're at there. Well, I've got the cutting board out here. Let me go ahead and get the chives cut down.
So if I don't have chives, I could substitute like green onions, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what a chive is the green part of the green onion.
Okay. I think it's the leeks that are like bigger.
Mm-hmm. And leeks are in the onion family too.
Yeah.
In fact, in this recipe, they want you to, you can put in a little bit of the green onion if you want the actual white part, the root part of the onion.
Mm-hmm. I must confess, I usually use the whole thing.
You know, okay.
I like both parts of it. So.
You do? Yeah.
So I would toss everything.
And you know what? That's what it's about. It's taste, man.
Yeah.
When I do, like, when I make potato skins, I'll use the bottom, the white part, in with the stuffing, you know, in with what's in the potato.
Mm-hmm.
And then the green, you know, the green onion part, the chive part, just goes on top of the sour cream.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh. Oh, that's delicious.
So this called for two green onions. I'm not going to do two. I'm going to leave them in the bunch. I could pull two out of the bunch, but I'm just going to leave two in the bunch. And I just kind of squeeze the bunch together, and then I just slice it like I would if I were slicing the potato. I hold the green onions, the big bunch of them, I hold them between the thumb and my ring finger and little finger and middle finger. All three of those are kind of holding the bunch together and the thumb. Then my forefinger I have sitting on top of the green onions, and that is how I kind of monitor the depth of my cut. And I move it back just enough, just where I want for a thin green onion, okay, slice to make a nice thin chive. And then I put the blade of the knife right against my forefinger, the fingernail of my forefinger, which my forefinger being perpendicular, the nail's pointing straight down. So it gives it a nice base. It's not skin. I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't know if you've noticed, but a knife blade cuts skin a heck of a lot easier than it cuts a fingernail.
Oh.
FYI.
Well, that is important to know.
Okay. Our chives are ready here. We've got those ready. I hear our pot beginning to boil, so I'm going to turn it down to a simmer. We're going to take a break right here so you don't have to hang around for that 20 minutes. We'll bite the bullet for you, us, Cheryl and I, Tim, because that's what we do. We're cooking in the dark. We'll be right back.
Cooking in the Dark shows are archived at www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com. That's www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com. Go there now and have a listen to an old show.
Hey, y'all. Do what I did and get yourself a 64 gigabyte upgrade memory card from Ultimate Tech Mods. It goes in your Victor Reader stream, and all of a sudden, bam, you've got over 50 gigs of storage, of memory, internal memory. No external cards, no more of this, no more of that. It's all in your stream. I've got 10 books right there now, plus 4 magazines, all internally saved on my second generation Victor Reader stream. That's ultimatetechmods.com, ultimatetechmods.com, or see them at Blind Mice Mega Mall.
Blind Mice Mart has your perfect product: Braille measuring cups and measuring spoons. That's right, it's a 9-piece measuring cup set from 1/8 of a cup to 2 cups, and they all have Braille. The same with the measuring spoons. You get an 11-piece set that goes from a 1/64 of a teaspoon, just a little bitty bit, all the way up to 2 tablespoons. You'll never need another measuring set again. And best of all, they're at blindmicemart.com, where you won't lose your tail.
Order online or order by phone, 866-922-8877.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Welcome back to more Cooking in the Dark.
Easy potato soup. So our soup is simmering, nice and chilling.
Yes.
So it'll cook up. We just cut some chives up. Let's talk about doing some bacon. Mm-mm-mm. Bacon, you need bacon on a baked potato. I think you need bacon on everything. Bacon chocolate shake.
No.
Bacon pecan pie. Think about it. I know you're like, but think about it.
I'm rejecting that idea.
Bacon on and pecan pie? Okay, I'll eat your piece.
Go ahead.
So what I've got here, y'all, I've got some thick sliced bacon. Man, sometimes these pieces feel like, yeah, I don't know who sliced this, but it must have been his first day because some of these are really thick.
Or maybe the end of the day. They're yeah, like, get me out of here.
Yeah, I got to slice all this. Okay, I'm going to slice it this way. Okay, so I've just laid three pieces of bacon in my skillet. I've got the skillet on high. I just covered it with the lid. Let me set a timer here for 8 minutes. Alexa, set bacon timer. 8 minutes.
Bacon timer, 8 minutes. Starting now.
Okay. All right. So there, that's all you got to do with bacon, y'all. Bacon is thin enough you don't have to flip it. Once you figure out what temperature you cook it at and for the time, how do you like it? Crispy, a little limp, whatever. Everything stays the same. I always use thick bacon. I always use high for the temperature. Sometimes once it starts going, I'll kick it down to medium high. If I do that, I add a couple minutes to the cook time. But time and temperature is the thing.
Have you ever used turkey bacon?
Yes.
And? Do you like it?
I prefer pork. No, yeah. I don't. But, you know, that's me.
Right.
But I do ground turkey. I mean, I eat ground turkey more than I eat red meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every now and then I want some hamburger, you know, hamburger patty or a hamburger. But anyway, so we've got our bacon over here getting ready to start sizzling. And I love cooking bacon this way because then I can turn my attention to getting my eggs ready, get my cup of coffee, chill
so
for a
good.
Minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's get some cheddar cheese worked up here too, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Mmm.
We need a cup of cheddar cheese grated.
1 cup. You're going to grate a cup, may as well grate a little more. And again, this is all for garnish. So if you're somebody that doesn't use a lot of cheddar cheese, cut it back. You want to use mozzarella? Okay.
That would be nice. Yep.
But what we were kind of mimicking is what you put on a baked potato to make, you know, baked potato soup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you could make this into like a baked potato soup, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm. If we were to add all this to it.
Right.
Before we serve it, yeah, then it would be a baked potato soup.
So we'd add the bacon, the cheddar, the sour cream?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
The sour cream, no. The bacon
and
the cheddar,
yes. Oh, the bacon
and cheddar.
Okay, yes. Yeah, because we're putting in milk in here.
Yeah, we're going to be adding milk. So we would put, you know, once we get along with the recipe here. Okay. Let me get my grater. And this box grater... it's got different grates on it, but I think I'm going to use the fine grate. It's got a medium. Yeah, I'll do the medium grate. Fine grate might be a little too small.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do it right here on my cutting board, right next to the chives.
And one of the nice things about the box grater is that everything just sort of plops right there in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all nicely contained.
A little bit will fall down in front, but like you said, yeah. It's contained. It's right there in that one area.
Yeah. So you can, like, you know, find a place on your chopping mat or whatever and just say, okay, cheese over here, chives over there, you know.
And just... Or something else. I mean, if you wanted to, if you're going to serve it like this, you could take the chives, go ahead and put them in a little serving bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the same with the... with the cheddar cheese after you grate it, go ahead and put it in a little bowl. Sour cream, put out.
Right.
You know, if you're fancy, put it in another bowl. If you're eating at Dale's, it's going to be in the sour cream tub. Yes, sir. You know you're an important guest at Dale's house if he puts sour cream, you know, takes something out of one tub and puts it in another one.
Well, I must say the recipe suggests that you could... like, actually sort of create like a little piping bag with the sour cream and put that on top of the soup. Oh my gosh.
So what the recipe suggests, y'all, is that you take the sour cream and you put it in like a Ziploc sandwich bag.
Yeah.
And then you cut off a corner, a little corner of it, and squeeze the bag, and you can, as it pops, you know, as the sour cream comes out of that little corner that's cut off, it'll be just in a little line. So you can draw little lines on it. You can put a heart in it, you know, write I love you on it or something, you know, Valentine's Day. Potato soup for Valentine's
Day. I know, Valentine's Day is coming up.
But yeah, all kinds of cool little gas. Or you could just plum, 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 put four or five plops of sour cream, like dollops around it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you get really good, you can make it look like an ice cream cone. Because when you did like a soft serve ice cream cone, yeah, when it started filling, you pushed the cone into the ice cream thing a little bit and pulled it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what created those little like segments, like a snowman segment, you know, in the ice cream. Anyway,
swirl.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Little trick from the day.
Yeah. Wait, did you work in an ice cream store?
My first job ever.
No.
Yeah, it was Zarda Dairy. Just checking on our bacon. Hear our bacon sizzling? Let's see.
Yes.
There's our bacon sizzling. Now, that's one trick that you can do to know when your bacon is done. As long as you hear sizzling, it's still cooking. When the sizzling starts to diminish, when you don't really hear it that much anymore, you know you're getting close to your bacon being done. Just a little hint. So getting back, yeah, my first job was at a place called Zarda Dairy. Zarda was a little company that had little stores, like little grocery store, little convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of stuff, bread, chip, you know, like maybe two or three aisles of merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a freezer stock full of ice cream, Zarda ice cream, and it had milk and cottage, you know, all the dairy products.
Okay.
And, man, we were busy.
Wow.
Every Wednesday a new ad came out, you know. But at night, at about 5:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30, the side door started lining up because that was that's where you came in to go to the ice cream fountain.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Girl, I've made banana splits. I've made dipped cones, sundaes, all kinds of stuff. And crazy, we wore white pants, y'all, white pants and a red and white stripe, you know, long up and down. You know, horizontal striped, vertically striped shirts.
Wow. I assume they gave you that stuff, right?
Nope. I wore white Levi's. And now the shirt they gave us, yes.
Yeah.
But the Levi's, but I had two pair of them. I bet Grandma used 10 gallons of bleach that summer. You know? But, man, it was cool. They had one. It was a banana split. And what they called it, a black and white, I think. It was a banana split. But it had two scoops of, like, chocolate and then two scoops of vanilla ice cream. And then over the vanilla ice cream, you put chocolate sauce or hot fudge. But chocolate sauce was better. Over the chocolate, you put marshmallow cream.
No. Oh, my gosh.
And then the nuts and the cherry. Oh, my God. That was my favorite, man. That was so good.
So,
okay, our bacon is telling me we're almost done.
Okay.
Check that out. I said that, and the bacon timer's going off.
Wow.
Damn. Telling you, folks, pay attention when you're cooking. You can learn a lot. Alexa, off. Turn the timer off. I'm going to turn the heat off. I'm just going to let it sit here for a minute and sizzle. It's not burnt, and it won't burn, but we're just going to let it sit until we're ready for it. I may crack the lid here in just a minute. Let's see. Alexa, how much time is left? Uh-oh, no timer's set. Thought I set a timer for the potato soup, but I guess I didn't. We'll just have to let that go for a minute.
Okay.
Well, let's take a break right here, y'all. We'll come back on the other side. I'll show you how to test the potato soup for doneness. And, heck, it might be done. It might almost be time to eat.
You have a personality? Show it with a personalized cane from Custom Cane. Are you a sports fan? Show it with your favorite team. Are you a musician or do you love the beach? We can design your lifestyle into your cane. We provide restoration and cane accessories too.
Remember, don't be playing. Go custom cane.
Order online or order by phone. 866-922-8877.
How much does it weigh? I don't know. Don't stray. Go to blindmicemart.com and get yourself the Vox 3000 Talking Kitchen Scale. It's ideal for weighing everything you need in the kitchen, and you can use it to weigh your postage too. Say hello.
Hello, I'm ready. 1 pound, 6.2 ounces.
Clear, concise, and easy to use. It's the Vox 3000 Talking Kitchen Scale from blindmysmart.com. Best of all, it carries a lifetime warranty. The Vox 3000 Talking Kitchen Scale. Get yours at blindmysmart.com.
Order online or order by phone. 866-922-8877.
Are you tired of spending 22 hours dicing and slicing? Well, Blind Mice Mart has the answer. Check out the adjustable slice mandolin or the vegetable and onion dicer, only at blindmicemart.com. Make cooking fun. Get all the cool tools that will do the job for you.
Order online or order by phone. 866-922-8877.
Get your Blind Mice Mart Cooking in the Dark apron complete with Bart BQ on the bib at blindmicemart.com. It won't make you cook any better, but it will make you look daggum good while you're cooking. It's a full bib, heavy canvas twill apron complete with pockets, ties in the back, loops around the neck, and like I said, it doesn't help me cook any better, but I look daggum good while I'm in it. Get yours at blindmicemart.com.
Now, more of the show with your host, Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
Woohoo! We're back. Potato soup. I bet this is done. I figure we're pretty close to 20 minutes, maybe 25. It's about the time it takes me to tell three really good stories, so I was yakking out there. Well, no, not yet. Still pretty hard.
Oh, the potatoes? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you checking? What are you doing?
I've got a small little ant with skin diving gear on. He's diving down. No, I'm taking a fork and just poking the potatoes. Mm-hmm. That one's pretty well done. If they're done, the fork is going to go right through them. These are all, everything I've stabbed so far, it's kind of hard yet, kind of like a raw potato. That one's a little bit easier. It'll be almost like putting the fork through soft butter,
mm-hmm.
is what you're going to kind of feel. These are, they're close, but not quite. I was wrong. I thought they would be done.
Well, we could gather our other ingredients as we're waiting.
I'm ready.
Unless you got it all.
I'm pretty much ready to rock.
Really?
I mean, we need a cup of milk. What else we need?
We need another quarter cup of water.
Okay.
We need 1.5 teaspoons of salt.
Okay, I can do that.
And a quarter teaspoon of white pepper.
Oh, yeah, white pepper. You might want to put a little bit more in that.
Wow.
White pepper's good, y'all. I love it.
It is very good.
Okay. So that's what we're looking at. We're waiting for our taters to get done.
Right.
Once they get done, then we'll add in the other ingredients, stir it up. I'm going to heat it back up, bring it, you want to bring it back up to almost a, not really quite a boil, but close. And once you get it there, you can turn it off.
Yeah.
But we're going to do something else before we get there. Also.
Tell me.
We're going to smash it.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's why we needed the potato masher.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You don't want to mash everything, mm-hmm. but we're going to lightly mash a lot of it. That one form of this recipe calls for you to put it into a blender. Scoop out about a third of it, put it in the blender, and then, you know, I'm like, man, that's a lot of mess. Have to clean a whole blender? That's the way I look at that. Maybe that's the wrong attitude. If I was some ritzy pitsy chef in a restaurant, you know, I'd have some minimum wage dude cleaning that blender.
Oh my gosh.
Cleaning a blender is kind of not fun sometimes.
Yeah.
I've been nicked by that blade. Not really nicked, but stabbed.
Yeah. But I think I did do that. I remember making a potato soup once and actually taking about that amount out. You said a third of it and put it in a blender and sort of mix it. It adds like a nice, smooth,
nice creamy texture.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we'll get here too when we do this. When we mash it, we're going to get some of them are going to mash up nice.
Right.
And it'll be like a mashed potato.
Right.
You know? Or a smashed potato anyway. But where you get it, you get the texture because you don't mash everything.
Right.
Just some. So you still have some bigger pieces and then you have some that are mashed all the way and some that are kind of halfway mashed. So it's a really good texture. Then once we add in the milk and the little bit of extra water, give it a couple stirs. Yeah, I mean, this is good stuff.
Yeah, I think this was another one of those recipes that I sort of thought was more complicated than it was once you read a recipe and you're like, oh, is that it? Potatoes?
Yeah, yeah.
Water?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Milk?
Hey, I tell you what we're going to do, Cheryl. Get your hands and feet ready.
Yes.
Everybody get your hands in. We're going to get the magic man to see if we can get the time machine rolling. We're going to jump forward about 5 minutes. Just a little jump. Time machine's rusty, though, so everybody hang on. All right, everybody. Cheryl, you here?
I am.
Cool. And did we leave anybody? If we left you, speak up. We'll hear you in 5 minutes. Hello, hello. All right. I think everybody's here. No injuries, no blah, blah. Let's check our potatoes here now. Same thing. I'm just sticking a fork down in there. Yeah, I think we look good here. Everything is soft and tender. When the fork goes in, it goes right through the pieces of potato without any problem. Perfect. Same way you would check a potato, you know, that you're baking or if you're boiling potatoes to mash. Same way. Usually you have those in a few little bigger hunks, but same method. All right, so now let's get our potato masher. Try to describe what we're doing here. Basically, I don't want to mash everything. So I'm going to pick an area of the pot. Basically, I'm going to start at like at 6 o'clock. I'm going to mash everything from 6 o'clock to about 4 o'clock. Actually, from about 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, okay? So I'm going to start at 4 o'clock and mash. And I'm only moving it, say, a half an hour to an hour, keeping it right around the edge. There we are at 8 o'clock. I'm just kind of mashing everything right in that little area. So that's about a third, give or take, of the potatoes there.
And is the pot still on the stove with the fire beneath? Or did you
fire's turn? Off, okay, pot's on the stove.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So now we need to add a cup of milk. Cup of milk.
Cup of milk.
Quarter cup of water.
Yep.
So there's our water.
So that's a quarter cup of water and a cup of milk.
Cup of milk. Make sure we get the white milk, not the chocolate. I've not done that, but have made other mistakes that are similar.
It would add an interesting taste, yes.
The time I accidentally put vanilla pudding in the meatloaf, I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
Or the time I made potato soup and oversalted it, and then the only solution was to add more potatoes. But the only problem was I had used all the potatoes.
Oh, my gosh.
We just drank a lot of water while we ate. Okay, so I've added the milk. I've added the water. What else do I need to do?
Half teaspoons of salt if you want it.
1.5 teaspoons of salt. Okay.
And then your favorite, 1/4 teaspoon of white pepper.
White pepper. White pepper makes the world go round, let me tell you. That's some good stuff. Super hot. I know y'all have heard, if you've listened to the show before, you've heard the story. But I'll tell it again. Skylar wouldn't eat anything if she saw black pepper in it when she was little. So I would trick her and use white pepper, which she couldn't see, and was hotter. So it wasn't the spice, it was just the fact that it was there.
Serving
kind of got her going.
Yeah.
There's the salt. Let me add the white pepper here. White pepper's got a very cool little feel to it, too. Feels almost powdery to me. So I'm just pinching out maybe 1/4 teaspoon to maybe 1/2. A restaurant we eat at has all their soup except one is spicy, and they just use a spicy broth. But it really adds a unique taste to it because it's not overly spicy, you know? It's not over the top, but it is enough.
You mean the broth that they use?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. It's very good. All right, we're going to stir this up. But put the fire back on it and just heat it up. And we're about ready to serve. So let's take a break while we do that. We'll be right back, Cooking in the Dark. Visit a good friend of mine, Julie, and her store at blindmicemegamall.com on the go. She has tons of awesome dog guide products to keep you on the go. A lot of things are custom made, sweaters, leashes. I have a beautiful leash in the Houston Astro colors, bright orange. She makes them all. Bells, all kinds of stuff, shoes, raincoats, everything you need to keep you and your guide dog on the go. Plus, you can visit her directly at shop-onthego.com. That's shop-onthego.com. It'll take you right to her store at blindmicemegamall.com. Tell her hi. Tell her the mice sent
you. Are you looking for a bathroom scale? Well, the mice have the perfect one for you. It's the XL440 talking bathroom scale. With a maximum capacity of 440 pounds, it offers a nice, wide platform for stability and a clear speaking voice. Best of all, it carries a lifetime warranty. It'll be the last bathroom scale you ever buy. Get yours for under 50 bucks. That's right, the XL440 talking bathroom scale with a lifetime warranty.
Order online or order by phone. 866-922-8877.
Your talking cooking thermometer can do more than just help you in the kitchen. You can use it to take the temperature of your pool.
84.2 degrees Fahrenheit.
Perfect. The Talking Cooking Thermometer in the Blind Mice Mart store at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Welcome back to more Cooking in the Dark.
Cooking in the Dark.
Yes.
Our soup is ready to go.
I am so excited.
I put it under a medium heat.
Right.
And just brought it up almost to a boil. You could just hear it starting to kind of start to boil.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just turned it back down to a simmer. Stirring it up, I can still feel some chunky pieces, but at the same time, there's some creamy stuff in here too. So now what we're going to do is just ladle this into bowls, and we're going to have our garnishment out, our chives and bacon and cheese and sour cream. And if anybody wants to add it to their soup, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. That easy, that simple. That's it, man. Super simple. This is such an easy potato soup. And it's really good. The other cool thing, if, you know, it's the right size for one or two people. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's one person, you're going to have it for a couple days, not a week. You know, two people, it'll be maybe one meal. I mean, like I said, Candace and I ate, a bowl and a half each. And there was enough left for lunch the next day. So that's perfect. That's nice. I like recipes like that, soup recipes.
Yeah.
Where you're not inundated with them over and over and over and over. So, Cheryl, you want to read us this recipe?
I can.
All right. Hooray.
Here we go. 2.5 cups of water. 5 medium potatoes peeled and cut up. 1/4 cup of water. 1 cup milk. 1.5 teaspoons of salt. And 1/4 teaspoon of white pepper.
White pepper. Might want to put another pinch in there.
Yeah, 2 green onions thinly sliced. And perfect. Optional for your garnish, you could do 4 slices of bacon, fried, crisp, and crumbled. 1 cup cheddar cheese grated. Sour cream.
That's one thing that slipped the bill.
What?
The bacon.
Oh, it's right there on the oven, on the stove.
Yeah, let me peel this out of here.
You can bring that out.
Let me show how we're going to do this real quick here. Glad you said bacon. I'm like, hey, what's missing over here? And I was just right there by the garnishes. I'm, why is there... There's a bowl missing. What's up? Dojito. It's okay. So here's what I'm going to do the bacon. I've got my kitchen shears, and I'm just cutting off slivers of the bacon. You want to be careful so you don't cut yourself. Remember, these shears can cut through bones, so they can definitely take the nip off a finger. That's all we're doing. Cutting off little pieces of bacon here. And again, when I say little slices, maybe 1/4 inch at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, we don't want, this isn't bacon soup with potatoes. It's potato soup. So we don't want the bacon to overpower. We just want it to kind of highlight the flavor, add to it. Okay, there we go. So this is such an easy recipe, man. You want to peel your potatoes, get 2.5 cups of water in about a 3 to 4 quart saucepan boiling. After you peel your potatoes, you want to cut them up into, like Cheryl was describing, you know, talking about, you want all the pieces to be pretty evenly sized. And these pieces that we cut up were probably, oh goodness, maybe 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch, 5/8, 3/4 at the most, probably not that big, maybe 1/2 inch or a little, maybe, yeah, 3/4 inch or so in size. And then we put those in the pan, brought them to a boil. Once they started to boil, turn them down and let them simmer for about 20 or 25 minutes. Test them with a fork like we did. If your fork goes in all the way through pieces, you know, test all over the place, not just one. Oh, I tested that piece. It was done. No, don't do that. Test all over. Make sure they're good. Once you get that done, then you come back with the good stuff. You add your milk. You add your salt. You add your white pepper. Stir it up. Add 1/4 cup of water, and you're done. Stir it up. Bring the heat back up so that cold milk and stuff will come back up to temperature. And once it just starts to boil, I mean, I turned it up to about medium heat. Once I started seeing it getting a little turbulent in there, I turned it back down to simmer just to keep it warm while we serve it. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. For the garnishment, again, I grated the cheese on a medium grate, about 1 cup of that. About a cup of chives is what I ended up with, more than what the recipe called for. Because, man, let's face it, chives are good. And 4 slices of bacon. All diced up, ready to go. And don't forget the sour cream. We have a tub of sour cream sitting out there with a spoon in it.
Works just as well.
That's right. When you scoop it out, please use your spoon to remove any that's in the sour cream. Don't you put your finger on it, you're out. I'm taking your soup and you're being escorted to the door. Thank gummit. All right, y'all. We're good. We're clear. Hey, happy February. Don't look now, but it's here. For Cheryl Cummings and the Magic Man, I'm Dale Campbell. This is Cooking in the Dark. We're here. We're still here. AMF.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com. Cooking in the Dark was produced by THC Productions.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
This is Bird Note. Loons are built for life in the water. They're streamlined and dense to pursue fish deep below the surface. Loons' legs are placed far back on their bodies, almost like propellers. A unique advantage for life on the lake. But those legs don't work well on land. That's why, if you see a loon on terra firma, something has probably gone wrong. During migration, loons sometimes mistake wet pavement for the reflective surface of deep water and try to land there. And once they've touched the ground, they're stuck. Loons can't walk more than a short distance, and they're so heavy that they need at least 100 feet of water to launch into the air. If you see a stranded loon on a road or parking lot, calling a wildlife rehabilitator can help start the process of returning that bird to safety and back on their migratory journey. Early spring is a good time to keep an eye out for them, when loons are on the move and the weather is wet. By looking out for migrating loons, people can help ensure these submarine-like birds reach their northern breeding grounds safely. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. Support comes from Wild Delight Bird Food, offering a variety of blends designed to mimic the natural resources wild birds crave. Available at Chewy.com.
Have you heard about the audio journal show, Young at Heart? It's okay to be young at heart. The show is about listening to simple stories about simple and happy tales of life. By listening to Young at Heart, you will experience the delight and wonder of being, well, young at heart. And since laughter is the best medicine, many of the stories will also make you smile, chuckle, or even laugh out loud. So pull up a comfy chair, take off your shoes, and bend your ears to the audio journal show, Young at Heart, every Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m.
This is a public service announcement from the Massachusetts Association for the Blind. The Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired provides assistive technology training for persons with visual impairments. If you or a family member are interested in receiving one-on-one specialized training, please contact 617-991-7073 or email atcenter@mabcommunity.org.
Would you like to hear news from Barry and Spencer that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune in to Audio Journal every Monday at 6 p.m.
You are listening to Audio Journal, part of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Thanks for listening. We have more programming coming up next.